Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful seeing you all here today. I'm going to go ahead and open this morning with Psalm 11, and it's a psalm to the Lord being a refuge and a defense. In today's day, this is a really good thing to know and to remember. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked. And the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain snares. Fire and brimstone will be burning wind. I'm sorry, fire and brimstone and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face. And basically, the poor that suffer will be redeemed. Those who are persecuted will be saved. And those that are persecuting are going to pay a terrible price. But it's all because the Lord loves those who remain righteous in his name. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Father, we give thanks for your presence among us this morning. We thank you for our time together to study your word. And we thank you for our church and all she does within our lives and within our community. Help us to see and understand your word. Help us to be free in our discussions, and help us to love you and your will above all else. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, last week we made it a whopping all the way to verse 5. Hopefully we'll do a little better today, but if not, hey, we'll deal with everything as it comes in its own time. Now, the first 5 verses basically were the opening up to this letter, and this letter, as I will keep reminding you, is all about thanksgiving and praise for what God has done through Peter, through Paul, and through the church at Philippi. And it's a reminder to the people of Philippi that they may not realize the effects of their support of Paul during his time of trial, how much it means to him, and how much it helped to spread the gospel, which is something, if we're really good, we will be able to touch on today. Da-da-da-da-da. Of course, we can do nothing until I get to my... we're going to start this morning with verses 6 and 7. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of grace with me. Now, last week we talked actually a lot about fellowship. And the more I think about it, I do not like the definition of partnership, because partnership actually becomes a quasi-legal term. We are a fellowship. We may be partners in Christ, but we are a fellowship of people. And that's really important to remember, because we are all together seeking the Lord in our everyday lives, and that's important. But in verse 6, we come into this. I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. Now, one important note is, who is the he? And Paul is very confident in his prayer. It's not a confidence that is based on his own abilities. It's not of the past or present achievements that the Philippians are going on, but it's the power of love that is most important here. It's the love of God, and because God can be relied on to bring whatever he begins to completion, what God has said will come to pass. I want to think about that one for a particular moment, because if we look at our own lives, when we are given a task, when we are going to do something, do we consider it a God-given task? Or in another part of our lives, is everything we do a task from God? Now, if we go within the church, take a look at what you are asked to do, or you volunteer to do, but you're called to do it no matter what. We have the leadership, we have the pastor, and by extension, his family. Because look at how important the pastor's family is to everything we do. The pastor, very, very important part. We have our leadership, our deacons, who take time and effort to help make sure the church runs as smoothly as we can make it run, to help us move forward the gospel. But we have the congregation. It's the congregation that steps forward, choir, school teachers, people that clean up, business meetings. Business meetings is really important, are really important. It's a function of us working together. But believe it or not, for everybody that volunteers to do something, whether it's the Balloon Fest or contributing to the different projects that we have going on, it is a calling you are answering from God, because you're sharing yourself, you're sharing your time, you're sharing your abilities that God gave us with both the church and the community. And God picked you for that. And it is never an accident when we get a deacon, when we get somebody to teach our Sunday school classes, work with the kids, do VBS. God has looked down, put his little finger on your forehead and said, hey, guess what? This is what I'd like you to do. And we don't even realize. But that also extends into our daily lives. Because if we're living our lives in Christ, the people we meet out there are just important. When you go to your work, you do your utmost to do the best. You give an honest day's labor for your pay. Some people give a lot more, but hey. But this is all because God is working in your life. And if God is working in your life, there is an ultimate, hate to use the word reward, but that's exactly what it is, because someday we are going to face Jesus. Everybody does. And it's going to be a oh boy, or it's going to be oops. I really prefer the oh boy part. But that's up to him. So God starts everything going on in our lives. We don't understand how he works, and we're not supposed to. And sometimes we have to step out in blind faith. And when we can see that God has begun good work in people's lives, we can be sure that his purpose is to continue the good work. And I think one of the best ways we can do that is music, is our music. It's a great example. You put so much time and effort into providing our special music, our cantatas, our special worship sessions. We're graced with Mickey and with Janet because they use their talents so wonderfully. And that's it. But God chose them and he gave that for a specific reason. And it doesn't start off. God may choose you for one thing in your life. That is what he wants you to accomplish. When you've done what he has set, the task he has set for you, he doesn't set you aside as if you're an old used glass. He continues to be in your life. He continues to be with you every single day. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about in here. He is praising the good work that God started when the church in Philippi was established. But I also want you to notice that here also, and as well as in a lot of his letters, Paul saw his own life and his work in the light of the coming day of Christ. And what is the coming day of Christ? Well, I got lots of them today. It's the second coming. It's when he returns to us in our glory and everything that is here on the earth is changed anew. When God has total sway, as in the beginning in Eden, before it got mucked up. Important notes. We are never going to know the time of day when Christ comes again. And that is so very important to us to remember. And it's a call for us is don't stop trying to get better. Don't stop serving. It could be tomorrow. It may not be for another millennia. That's not our part. But it's going to come. And if you wait till the last minute to go, oh yeah, I guess I'll get serious about it, could be too late. Because we never know what's going to go on. We can take things for granted, but we never know what's going to go on. And Paul wants, and especially in this case, the spiritual maturity of his followers, the people that are following him in Christ, to be a spiritual maturity on that day when Christ comes down, that we know that we can accept, and we're really glad that God has chosen us to go into the new kingdom. But he follows that up with an explanation of what he was talking about in both verses 5 and 6. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. And when we talked in verse 5 about fellowship, it's spelled out a little bit more here. Fellowship is a matter of sharing God's grace in the work of the gospel and being in fellowship with Paul while he was in chain for the gospels, with that fellowship being involved in both defending and confirming it. The task of defense of our faith involves the obligation of all Christians to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. It's 1 Peter 3:15. And also helping to make people more sure of the gospel's truth and power. That's out of both Luke and Corinthians. So I want to ask you, and this is not a rhetorical question, why do you believe in God? Hard, isn't it? I'm sorry? Okay. And that's true. And we each have, I have my reasons for following God, as everyone in here does. But how do you articulate it to the person on the street that walks up to you and goes, well, why do you follow God? And it can be both in, well, why do you follow God, you idiot? Or, why do you believe in God? I'm sorry? Great answer. Now, when in verse 7, it is only right for me to feel this way about you all. Paul is telling the Philippians, I love you dearly and I pray for you constantly because of what you've done to me. I have you in my heart since both in my imprisonment and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. Contrary to what we hear a lot of, it is our responsibility to unabashedly stand up for our Christian beliefs. We have far too many pastors out there that want to nibble and go, well, I don't want to upset anybody. Upset them. I'd rather upset the people out on the street because I believe in God. And I believe in love, and I believe in the moral right and wrong, than I do upset the one that's going to make the judgment whether I go to heaven or hell. And we are far too, and just, believe it or not, I'm going to get to it here, We are far too quiet on all the things out there. We bow down, or society bows down at the altar of the LGBT program for less than 3% of the total population of the United States, 2% of which are following a fad. We close churches but leave bars open. We pass rules that Christ is not to be spoken in the public spheres. Now, when I say we, we're talking the generic out there in the world. And too many churches sit on the sideline and go, no. My God tells me this is right and this is wrong. I will defend everything I do in Christ's name. If you don't like it, fine. You don't have to listen. I have the right to pray in public. I have the right to state out loud in the village square that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I have the right to say certain laws are wrong. Certain political views are wrong. That is my God-given right. But it's a responsibility also. Paul was in chains. What was Paul in chains for? Because he upset the status quo, he told the people in power, Jesus Christ says this, I'm not doing this. And he's in Rome right now. He's been under arrest for over 2 years, but he defended every day. And in defense of Paul, the church in Philippi sent him supplies. They sent him Epaphroditus. They sent him, really importantly, their prayers to him in support of him for his welfare. They prayed to God that he protect the apostle. But in those actions, look at what Paul did in prison. He preached the gospel every day to the soldiers he was trained to anybody who would listen to him. And it was a steadfast, righteous thing, and he gained the respect of those who were possibly persecuting him. And more important, he opened eyes to who Jesus Christ was among these same Gentiles. It is a responsibility of ours. And Paul is telling them that the Philippi congregation has done that. They have followed through with it. And they will continue to follow through it. And he is very, very thankful. Because in doing so, they are expressing their thanks for God's grace to them. For seeing them through hard times. For seeing them through the formation of their church. But again, I would recommend that you take some time during the week, take down a few minutes, take down and write down, why do I believe in God? And then give examples, and then couch it in phrases that if I had to explain it to somebody I didn't know and they were searching for answers, and there are lots of people out there searching for answers right now. Out of the tragedy of Charlie Kirk, we have hundreds of thousands of college students turning to Christ. That's invaluable. It was a tragedy. But it also brought people to say, the people that did this are wrong. What are you willing to give up your life for? What did he give up his life for? And one other thing in the midst of all this, nobody is forcing you to be a Christian. No one can force you to be a Christian. It is physically impossible. The more I think about it, the more I like that. It's a choice, and when we make that choice because of something either in our lives and bless those that started from this, from really small, and have been able to follow it all through their lives. To those of us that came to Christ very late in our lives, having lived in that worldly stuff. But it's important that you be able to tell people. Now, what are the chances of somebody coming up and saying, why do you believe in God? Well, first of all, you have to act like a Christian to have somebody ask you why you follow that way. Point, really important point, but that's kind of off the way. When we grew up, there was still a lot of Christ in Christmas. Now, I can remember David and Goliath. I can remember decorating the Christmas tree. Now, I did not go to church. I can remember the decorating the Christmas tree while the TV was playing Christmas carols. And not Frosty the Snowman, honest to God, Christmas carols. Oh, come all ye faithful. And the myriad of other that now my mind just went completely blank on. But they were there. And unfortunately, the young people today don't have that because it's literally been stripped out of their education, both on TV, on the radio, unless you happen to catch, oh, and I can't remember the kids' program that I used to love to listen to. It was a radio program. Do you remember that, dear? You were the one that turned me on to it, the radio program. Sunday mornings, we used to listen to it going back and forth. Not important. It was out there. I don't know if it's still on. I've lost track of it. But, you know, it was out there. I understood there was a Jesus, although I had no idea who he was, how he fit into things, or anything else. I accepted he was there, and he was the Son of God. And that goes all the way up into my younger teen years. So, yes, and again, I'm trying to think, to be honest, I did not start going to church, since I'm not going to make it through 8 to 11, let's kibitz here. I did not go to church because of God. I had kids that were very, very active in, that was in Virginia, when we were stationed in North Carolina at Cherry Point. There was nothing for the kids to do, and we were looking for programs that the kids could get involved in. And one of my friends says, hey, St. Timothy's Church, Lutheran, has a really great kids program. We went to get the kids in so they had something to do on a Sunday, other than just sitting around like they did on Saturday. The only trouble is I got into it. That was the one that's gotten me over with. It started to pull me in. Now, for several reasons, it was one of those, I could go for 3 years and I wouldn't see a church for two or three more, and you go back and forth until Pam and I were dating, which was much later. But, you know, and that is a pull that we get into. And it will come to you if God wants you. And remember, we're here because God said, hey, here's the call, and you answered it. Because he knew things about me I didn't know or wasn't prepared to accept. And going back into the world is, yes, that's a... I still have the questions on, well, I know God. Carol and I talked about this at the balloons aloft. He says, you know, everybody out there wants to say, well, I believe in science. Well, we didn't come from glop or soup or whatever that. Where'd the glop come from? It just happened to be. Doesn't work that way. Now, I cannot tell you where God came from except because he's God. That's far above my pay grade. But he's here. There isn't one thing in the world that isn't here because God made it. And I don't care what it is. You know, the biggest shock in the world is when Lillian Hook made the microscope and all of a sudden, hey, look at those teeny, what the heck are they and where'd they come from? Well, now we have atoms and we have smaller atoms, and we have smaller particles. We got nanoparticles, and all that doesn't mean anything. They just didn't happen to appear. And it was God that made whatever that nanoparticle is. And I'm not that scientific, so we're safe on that. Got a couple minutes left. Going back to, and this, you can answer this if you want to or not, because sometimes explaining what's in our hearts is uncomfortable isn't the right word, but it's not easy to get out. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart. How do we feel about one another in our hearts? Because, and Dennis will definitely back this up. I found that one of the hardest things for a pastor to do is find a church where they're comfortable in. And it's not to say that, but it takes a while to find that special church. Now, I feel in my heart that there's the love of this church. And it's in my heart. Just like he's saying there, if I ran into trouble, there is no doubt that this congregation would step forward. And depending on the trouble, yeah, they may chastise me, but they would still love me. Love doesn't come from us. It comes from Christ in us. It's his love in us that allows us to love one another. Hey, we got all the way through. So I see a pattern coming here. Now, I will admit, we may not go very fast, but your comments during all this, number one, are very uplifting. Because if you think I have the answers up here, you couldn't be further from the truth. But it's a wonderful way to see exactly what's going on. And look, and I'll be honest, look at the things we have coming up in service to God because we care about people we know and we don't know. We got a wedding coming up that I can't wait till they're married, then we can start with the jokes. We have Thanksgiving, we have Christmas coming up, and those are times that we could just sit back and sing Christmas carols and have a great time, or we can go out and share what we have with others. And those little kids are awesome, especially when they get something they're not expecting. It's complete. We won't see what happens with the shoebox. We may hear about a little of it through press releases and everything, but we have no idea the joy that kids are going to get because you care and you. That's it. That's exactly what Paul is talking about throughout this entire gospel. And it's so wonderful. Let's go ahead and pray. Almighty Father, we ask your blessings upon our class here and our congregation. We ask your blessings upon our world, Father. Help us rediscover and share every day the love you have for us. Help us to model our lives after our Lord and Savior. Help us to follow the Holy Spirit. We ask your blessings upon our worship today. May it be fruitful. May it open our hearts and our minds even further to the wonderful glories that you put before us. And Father, thank you for the love of one another. You are our gift. We love you. We praise you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.